Flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast. With Sakisa. It's her and her friends. And they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. As always, I am Sakisa, the head of the table. And this week, we're nearly a full house, ladies and gentlemen, between nearly a full house, because I am joined by the main event, Mark Cram.
Hello, people of the internet and other places.
And the Fluffy Boys, the tag team of the podcast, the Fluffy Boys, Ibs and Danny.
Come on.
Nice.
These are just noises.
This is noises. That's what the Fluffy Boys do. They just make noises.
Because your intro was so concise, like, hello, everyone, to the internet. We've tried our decent enough, but it's
yeah, and also, we're not concise. We just make noises and hope that people like it.
It's called professionalism. That's what the word you're looking for.
Yes, oh, that's the word. That was professional.
Well, I hope you all have had a lovely week, especially a lovely week of wrestling. It obviously has been a very interesting situation where Netflix have released the Vince McMahon documentary. We will talk about it later on. We've not all watched the episodes, but we are going to have a very special edition probably next week of the Vince McMahon documentary, where we will deep dive into it. But this week, we've had some amazing pieces. I want to say some amazing wrestling happened this week. I will just start by saying I went to Progress. I went to Progress and I had a great time watching with Richard. I'm not going to lie, Progress is too long, especially what you're standing, but it does jam-pack full of wrestling. Rio's match was amazing. The Street Fight tag team match was amazing, despite Mambo coming in. Mambo, we need to have a discussion. Why are you involving yourself in other people's business? Not your time.
Does Mambo come out to Mambo number 5?
No, he doesn't.
He used to come out to the Skints back in the day. He used to come out to the Skints, rub-a-dub-dub back in the day.
No, still not Mambo number 5. That was really Mr. Marketing Genius there.
Yeah.
And obviously there was the return at Progress of Cara Noir, which was, I will say, epic. Absolutely epic. It was so lovely to see him back in the ring. He's remixed his entrance music, which is actually really banging. But
with Mambo number 5?
No, not with Mambo number 5.
And it's great he's back as Cara Noir, but I think we all wanted him back as Judo Tom Dawkins, really. That would have been the gimmick. That really flies.
Anyway, niche. That's very niche. It's very, very niche. The Fluffy Boys are too young for that.
I'm not going to say it. No, let's keep that to myself. Let's continue.
Me and Ibs' face was like...
No, because I heard... Okay, fine. I'm going to say it now. Cara Noir's name sounds like a poor star's name, but I don't know why I came out. But let's just continue. Let's go back to wrestling.
Right. this week, let's kick it off with SmackDown. SmackDown, I will say, the only thing that really, for me personally, I don't know if anyone else agrees, is carrying SmackDown at this moment in time is the Bloodline storyline. And the hype package they brought out. I'm just giving an applause.
Yeah.
8-minute hype package. Yes.
Hold on. I heard Danny's voice. No. Danny, you don't sound like you agree with that wholeheartedly.
I don't know. I just...
Go on, Danny. Say us your thoughts.
Like, look. Obviously, SmackDown, they just stood in the middle of a pitch, innit, right? And I get it's all very cinematic. It looks lovely. There was just no need. Like, it just felt... I always get a bit weird about these weird, like, promos that are, like, a movie and scripted. It's, like, it reminds me of when, like, they did the whole Seth Rollins... tag match, and then they had that little shot of like Roman and The Rock, and they're standing, and I'm there like, But when it feels like it takes away a little bit of the authenticity of it, because when they were like in the ring, they're like, they couldn't get hands with each other, The Rock was like beating Cody, and then all of a sudden you're chilled to stand face to face. It just, for me, it always just takes a little bit away. Like, I'd rather that promo just in the ring a little bit. Like, it makes me always go, how many times did you rehearse this? I weren't a fan of it, to be honest. It looks beautiful, it's cool, but also I don't like the fact that Cody's in another weird main event with someone who absolutely shut him down. I'm team Kevin Owens all the way, so I'm not a fan of it, to be honest. Didn't like the promo, thought it was shit.
Wow. Oh. I love the promo so much that I've downloaded the song.
Yeah,
the song was good. The song was class.
I will say, if you've not downloaded the song, please do. It's got Titus O'Neil on it.
Ashley.
Can we focus on the real question? The real question of this promo, though, is, and I think this is very important to stress, why does Roman Reigns have so many cards?
I don't think
you can be a face in professional wrestling that day with these days with that high a carbon footprint. I think that's irresponsible.
And also,
he is letting people down, quite frankly.
And with the security as well, how much money is he spending? Who does he think he is? Like, the Bloodline are not that dangerous.
The head of the table.
Yeah, but the Bloodline are not that dangerous for you to have a security detail. Like you might have like maybe one bodyguard, which is probably your cousin, like another cousin. But like, nah, I don't know. It felt,
just call
it
your
felt
dad.
Like, yeah, just call, yeah. Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
You could have said,
how's he calling him?
You could have
record Rikishi. Record Rikishi.
What a match that would be.
I can't.
Oh, that was bad.
What were you saying,
oh,
Mark?
Oh, my God. Sorry. What do you all...
I don't know. I was just lambasting his carbon footprint. I actually quite enjoyed the segment. I think Cody's overacting is kind of weirdly endearing, the way that everything is like said so epically and slowly. It's really old school pro wrestling. I like it. It's nice to have a promo setting in a different place every now and again. I don't get who gave them access or who recommended standing in the middle of the pitch. They could have met anywhere. But you know what? It's fun. It kind of took me back to the old Lucha Underground days where they used to have like these big cinematic sequences building up to matches and stuff. Obviously not of the same quality, but it gave it a different speed. I don't mind it every now and again. I don't want it to become the norm though.
I'm in the boat where it was nice to see something different. It felt like a cowboy shootout, like a saloon sort of like the end of like a spaghetti western. I'm still in the camp that as much as the Bloodline are the main show on SmackDown, I don't see them as a serious threat due to the fact that how much Solo's lost recently. So it's like, why you guys are really, in a way, if we're looking at it storyline wise, it's kind of given a window for Roman to turn heel again on Cody. But it'd be really interesting if Cody's the person who turns heel. I think we're all clamoring for Cody to do something different. Well, I'm clamoring for Cody to do something different.
I'm bored, man. Yeah,
I like what Cody's doing personally, but I think. I mean, the problem is coming out of that promo is that they're going to have to run Roman and Cody again in some capacity, because there's no way they can run that promo and not have Roman have a title match down the line. So the question is, when?
Isn't there a Saudi show before the end of the year? I think
there might be a Saudi show by the end of the year, but I believe the next pay-per-view after this one is... what's it called? Survivor Series.
War Games.
Which is what we've all been waiting for. If it is what we think it is, I really hope it is. I'll just say
it was weird how they kept going to Kevin Owens. Like it's sort of like more or less
like it's building.
It's like it's almost a guaranteed that this is gonna happen.
Which is interesting because I think coming up into War Games, if it is the case where it is Bloodline versus Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and they have to recruit other people, obviously Jimmy's coming back, we know that for defo, is it the case where they will ask Kevin Owens and Kevin Owens is like, no, and do what Randy did last year, which is turn up lastminute.com?
Maybe. I think the issue with WWE, though, Jey Uso, obviously we haven't talked about Raw yet, but Jey, you know.
Oh, we're getting onto that.
Yeah. So Jey's an interesting piece of this now. You don't know how he's going to fit in, given what's just happened.
Yeah.
And Sami Zayn, who's been rumoured to come in, he looks like he's pretty occupied doing other stuff as well.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I don't know who the Bloodline... It's not... Bloodline versus Bloodline doesn't look like it's going to happen unless some real parts move in the next few weeks.
Well, I think that's the whole, like, you know, at the end of SmackDown where you had, like, obviously Owens with the Street Profits, DIY. And then obviously very, very, very late Cody runs in. I'm guessing he ran from the field, I'm assuming. That's why he was so late. Like, that was, like, if Kevin, I really hope there's a promo where Kevin Owens goes, like, dude, with all due respect, I needed your help long ago. If you weren't doing a weird promo with Roman in the middle of a pitch, you could have been here earlier. Like, it was bizarre. But, like, I'm assuming there's going to... I don't know, like... Because you can't... With the whole heel, who's going to turn heel? Like, Roman's very much, I feel like, putting on this whole... I'm not a face, I'm still head of the table. Like, he's not trying to turn face, it's just everyone loves him. And then you might get the heel Kevin Owens versus Cody coming out of Survivor Series. Maybe. I can't see him turning Cody heel because he's just... I want to see it because I'm... Yeah, I know you liking it, Mike, but I just think it's quite boring at the minute.
Just a little correction. There is a Saudi pay-per-view on the 2nd of November, which is like nearly a whole month before Survivor Series. So they could do something there.
And you think Sammy's probably... Sammy's going to be doing Gunther around about that time as well, you remember?
Also, sorry, I do want to say at the very beginning, Mark's talking about being professional. You and Skips are both eating. So yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, how dare you have a lovely, like, hello internet, and then you start eating whatever that is, watermelon, maybe.
The head of the table can do whatever she wants to.
I was having a go at you, Skeezer. It's unbelievable.
I am also waiting for...
Can I just officially say it? The head of the table does not approve.
I assume we have to edit that out for legal reasons.
Just bleep it. Tim could just bleep it, surely. He's waiting for something to arrive. I wonder what it is, listeners. I'll give you a clue. It's not Uber Eats.
Just talking about SmackDown, it does seem that we are going to get a replay of Andrade and... Carmella Hayes. I think it's going to go to 7. It seems like it's going to go to 7, doesn't it?
And then they become a tag team. I don't know. The thing is, they're good. I think they've both got this. Maybe Melo in the main roster, but they've both got the same issue of they're fantastic athletes that can't draw because they're the position they're in. I think maybe with Andrade, it's maybe like we're kind of like we've seen this before. This is what your run was before, but it's you've got more. They're giving you more of a chance, but this is still what we're seeing. Whereas Melo in NXT was the guy. Like we know he can do promos, we know he can talk, but I don't think he's been given the chance as much. Maybe in the main roster or. The idea, or maybe it's because there's so much going on SmackDown, or the idea of some loads of things going on SmackDown, he hasn't been given his chance to shine. So I just find it really like, I'm happy this match is here, but what's the storyline like?
Well, I'm hoping this is all sort of building to Survivor Series, where they're going to have all these mini feuds going on, and they're going to do old school Survivor Series matches where they just throw teams together. So you have like Melo on one side, Andrade on another. You have Braun Strowman on one side, Bronson Reed on the other. You know? Yeah. So all these little fuses get thrown into these big matches. That's what I hope they're doing. And also, they could just be that they're going to build for a freeway of them to an LA night. You know, so they're doing stuff, which is
there. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Let's move on to Raw. We will talk about the main event. Let's go straight into it. The main event, which was Bron Breakker versus Jey Uso for the Intercontinental Championship. And I will say from a personal point of view, I was shocked by the ending, by the result, mainly because Bron Breakker's only defended this championship once before. And also, it was such a quick turnaround where he had been going in there with so much hype, so much energy. The crowd was on his side with the dogs barking. And if you don't know, Jey Uso is your new Intercontinental Champion. I kind of thought the result at the end was going to be either disqualification or no finish, where they will go and do another match later on, maybe in a week or a few weeks' time, wherever. But we do have a brand new Intercontinental Champion. And I will say, if no one's seen it on social media, Rhea Ripley was backstage going crazy.
Guys, they're not going to hook up. Can people stop shipping Jey Uso?
Yeah. I mean, Jey Uso, if you need a hookup. I'm just saying, Jey Uso, if you need a hookup, the head of the table is here.
Yeah, Rhea is very much in a relationship with another wrestler at another company. But I think, first of all, congratulations to Jey Uso. He just has deserved to have some sort of recognition of the work he's been doing over the last... Well, since, like, the main event feud with Roman back in since the COVID era, he's been doing incredible work, and it's good to see him finally get going on that. It's interesting now what the permutations of this, because like you said, you didn't want to end Bronson Reed's run so quickly, and I think that's because they're not. I think Jey Uso is going to hold this title for a very short amount of time, and he's going to be cost it by the bloodline, and that's how you bring him back into the story. He's been goaded in because Solo Sikoa will cost him the IC title, or the Tongans will cost him the IC title. Because I think you just put the belt back onto Breakker. I don't think there's a need to take it off Breakker. I don't think Jey Uso needs a long run with it. He gets his moment and then goes back into the bloodline story.
I think it's actually the right decision personally, because I think now what we could have is, you know how you've got the Braun Strowman, like, and what's his fucking, why have I forgot his name? Bronson Reed.
Bronson
Reed.
Like,
they're just going chaotic throughout the arena. I kind of want to see Bron Breakker be doing something similar. Like, I want so much chaos.
But he was when he first came onto the roster, he was that guy causing like havoc. And I think that helped him out a lot. Me personally, I'm so happy for Jey. Like,
For sure.
And I think the last time I was on the podcast, I did mention something of like, it's been a while now. What is he? Where's his flowers? Like, is he going to win this championship? He's lost loads of times. So I did go in there with the idea of like, they're not going to push him to be the champion. So it was a pleasant surprise. I think they meet up at Bad Blood. He walks in with his belts, passes the bloodline at some point, and mentions something like, I'm doing better. It's just me, Uso, something like that. And then that's how they get involved.
I think so.
Bro, I don't think the loss doesn't hurt Bron in any way, shape, or form. I think his momentum, it's the first time. And also, it's really refreshing where, like, a newer superstar who's got the title has lost, but still they've come out looking still as strong. They haven't lost anything, which is really, like, refreshing to see.
Also, like, not every title has to be massively long. Because you used to have, like, we did the Gunther's Heartland for long. The Sami Zayn was a decent run as well. Like, sometimes titles can change hands a bit quicker. Otherwise, you're just in that cycle of only changing titles at WrestleMania. So I think this is a good title.
Who's going to beat this person, when actually people beat people all the time? Sometimes it's like cheap wins, whatever it is. I think it's great.
It's nice that it was on Raw.
I like the fact that Bron, I know, like it was saying, that Bron Breakker, like, came in very hot, but I still reckon he's got another gear. I don't know what, like, I reckon he's got another gear to him. You know how he, like, destroyed Ricochet? I want to see him do that to everyone and almost attack Jey and have this, because that match was great. I really enjoyed the match as well, like the two different spears and all that there, the reverse, like, I love it. So I'd love to see a Bron Jey 3, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it'd be brilliant. Bron's got a, I think Bron's early prediction for the Royal Rumble is Bron's going to be the guy in the Rumble that eliminates like 10 people.
That'd be class.
He's going to go in there and absolutely, he won't win it, but he'll go in there and mow people down for a good portion of the match.
Yeah, so
he comes back
and
Bron, hold a Bron Lesnar face off. That's what I want.
Lesnar.
Mate, off this documentary, anything's possible.
Yeah.
I do, yeah, it's an interesting time where we're going to lead into it. And like Mike Mark said, you don't need to have long runs with all these championships. I think we've all got used to, especially in the last few years, of having long run titles. And if anyone that listens to the podcast regularly would know that I've not been sleeping, so I've been watching like pay-per-views from like 1998 to 1999. And every single month, every single championship is brand new, apart from the women's one. But every other championship, there's brand new like person. And I was like, when did they lose it? And I have to be like looking up, and it's like Raw, or like randomly in like Heat. So
also,
yeah.
Like, I love the pay-per-views back in those days, because you get random matches like Gold Dust versus the Blue Meanie. you don't get that on PLEs anymore. Just, yeah, too big. Throw them out there. Why not?
Other, also on this Raw, we discovered that the women's championship match, which will happen at Bad Blood, Dirty Dom will be in a cage. He'll be locked up. Locked up. God, let me out.
He's like, I can't be locked up again. He's going to get another tattoo.
I fucking love a shark cage match. Yeah. I think it's one of those beautiful old school gimmicks that just works, because you can cut to the heel being held up there. Like Bobby Heenan's been up there over the years. Paul Heyman's been up there. Jim Cornette. It's nice to just see the cowardly heel figure being stuck in that cage. Yeah. And also, there's a point where that cage gets lowered down. You know, Rhea's going to smash him up in the cage.
Yeah.
I love everything about this angle. I mean, I feel Liv's a bit part in it. Mm. I forget that, you know, she's the champion in that, but. It is, the story is Dom and Rhea.
And the toxic lady who broke them between, like,
yeah.
I'm so invested. I didn't think I'd be this invested, but I'm so invested in the outcome of this match. And it's one of those where you generally can't pick them. Like, I do think, personally, I think it would be nice if Liv wins again. I'm not ready. We need. Like, I don't believe. I think. Rhea,
of course, you do.
Hey. Listen. Mummy comes first. Yeah. Let's make that very clear. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. Judging by my Instagram DMs, Ibs has turned over to the dark side of the force. I get more Liv Morgan memes from Ibs now than I do Rhea Ripley ones. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I would not want to see the DMs between Ibs and Danny. When Rhea and Liv are on
today,
the screen.
Today. That's all we talk about.
Well, no, I think it's. I would want to say it's probably the best feud on TV right now. On WWE.
True,
I'd argue as well. Dominic Mysterio coming in.
Yeah, but
Dom coming in the car, the low rider, the hydraulics. I'm sorry, that is the biggest heel move I ever. I was like, my God, I need him to start coming out to the ring in that, like in a Judgment Day, like a la, a cheat, a steal. I need it. I want more Eddie Guerrero, but I want more. He is Dominic's peak. It's looking so good. I'm a big Dominic fan. I'm just waiting for Logan Paul to come back as well. That's what I want.
That'd be interesting, actually.
I think the tag team of Logan Paul and Dominic Mysterio would be unreal.
Like, both of them are lowrider.
Yeah.
It says Prime on it.
The testable dons.
Yeah.
I just want to go the other way.
A drink Prime, a steal.
I want to go the other way with it, though. I want to see Dom versus Logan Paul and just see how they...
Who are they cheering?
They book that.
Who's the are they guy? Cheering that?
They're both double heel, man.
Yeah, want to see a double KO or something. Just run into each other and everyone's like, yeah! That'd be elite. I love it, man.
Also,
Liv's going to win, so...
I really find intriguing the slow breakup of the New Day.
Oh, I'm loving the New Day story.
It's so heartbreaking, but I'm so here for it. I was talking.
They're doing it so well.
Yeah.
I think it's not a big event.
Yeah, and considering the sort of speed bump they had with the original story they were clearly going for before he got released. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're still doing it really well, I think. I think they're doing, like, Xavier Woods carrying. I loved all the old school New Day references as well on the most recent episode. Kofi's trying to bring out the pancakes and, like, the booty-os. He's like, eh? Like, I'm enjoying it. I'm also, like, I don't know. I thought it was going to happen this week. so that it looks like they're eking it out, and it's going to be, I'm assuming, Xavier Woods turning, but I can't see when it's coming, and I like that. I like that.
If it does happen, I want it to happen on their 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen on their 10-year.
And they need Big E to come into the ring, and we need to do this in front of Big E. And obviously, Big E can't wrestle no more, so he'd be like, what? What's going on? But, or they could break up before Big E comes in on the 10-year anniversary to, like, befriend, like, to make it like a, like, we're back together again. And then we do, like, a festival of friendship sort of thing where Kofi gets lobbed into the screen, gets beat into a pole. We need, like we didn't want this to happen for a long time, but now we're here, we want it to happen. Like, I want it to be, like, they can't speak to each other again. They can't be in the same room together. Someone has to get drafted somewhere else. Like, it needs to be a massive, massive breakup for them to come back maybe in, like, 2 years later, and then they help help Xavier win the WWE title. I don't know how we get there, but that's the dream. Yeah.
Mark, what's your thoughts?
I'm wondering, and I think this is the way, I think this might be Kofi Kingston's last run in the WWE.
Ooh.
I think we're getting a Kofi. I think Xavier Woods is going to retire Kofi Kingston. I think that's where this goes through to WrestleMania, and it becomes a real heated rivalry, and it will become, you know,
loser leaves WWE
or something like that. Because
I do think Xavier Woods is old as flowers.
Yeah,
yeah, he does.
Yeah,
he does.
He's old as flowers. He's old as time.
But it's one of them ones where, like, just to go down with Mark's thing as well, like, you can't see Kofi in AEW. Like,
he's done what he's done.
Yeah, he hasn't got the indie pull for him to be at AEW for them to be credible. Xavier Woods is kind of in the same boat as well. He could go back and do Consequence, Creed or whatever. But, those guys are WWE lifers if they're smart about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they're similar to Big E, right? Because obviously he stopped wrestling, but he's still doing all the, you know, pre-pay-per-view stuff. Like, I think that, they're WWE through and through. But I'm just really excited to see a matchup between Xavier and Kofi. I think they will tie up so well. It'll be such a good match. Mm. And having this then face off at the Royal Rumble, maybe Kofi tries to do one last little like finesse, and Xavier's like, shut up, hits him with a chair. I can't wait. It's going to be class.
Okay, three more things before we talk about briefly Vince McMahon. Number one, how do we feel Drew versus CM Punk?
It's good to see a Hell in a Cell match that actually feels like it should be in Hell in a Cell. Like,
correct.
They hate each other. It's the perfect match to put them inside and let them beat. I think we're going to go blood. I think we're going to go everything.
Mm.
I think this is going to be an absolutely savage match. It's going to be storytelling rather than big spots, because that's what they're both good at.
I was going to say, I also feel like this is the match that we will not see them both for a while afterwards.
What are we thinking? Or something?
Like, I feel like once a match like this is done, they disappear to recover, and then one of them will come back quicker than the other. But I don't think we're going to see them on TV at least for another 2 weeks after this.
Yeah, I think they'll both take a little break. I'm not sure what Drew's status is or everything at the moment.
Oh, no, he's re-signed.
Oh, cool, we're all good. So Punk, I assume, is like he's going to be in and around winning the Royal Rumble. So I guess it's going to be a question of treading water a little bit until then.
And
maybe take some time off until around them.
Are we saying that this is the end of the feud? This is the blow off.
I mean, if Hell in a Cell isn't the blow off, then I don't. And it's a third match. It just like how much longer can you go with this?
Yeah. Hmm. Ooh. Yeah. Because like you can't have another like spot at the Rumble for them to face at WrestleMania. I think CM Punk's in the vote of like winning. I think he's on the cast to winning the Rumble.
I think so.
I don't know when Seth Rollins is back, but obviously he plays into all of this stuff as well. So.
I forgot about that, Don.
Yeah, we might have like a little Seth Punk feud for a bit, maybe, if Punk comes out on top and Drew goes away for a bit.
Well, you could even have Rollins cost Punk the Hell in a Cell match against Drew. Oh. And then so Drew wins, he gets carry on. Punk's not hurt by losing because Seth Rollins helps, and then you go to Punk Rollins for a bit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I enjoyed
the promos. I mean, Punk was very gravity. Like, you're gonna have to murder me and shit. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, like, all right, brother.
Oh, I can't do that. Like,
just a wrestling match, mate. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, you're telling me you're not going to superplex him. I'm sorry. It's like a killer man. A collar and elbow tie up. Murder me.
I think we have some. Raw is probably the best show. It's like one. It's like heads and shoulders. Yeah. The best show. I mean, is it? When's it get to 2 hours? Is it get to 2 hours? Like in two months? So it's not far off. And I'm really intrigued how they're gonna fit all these storylines in. Because in my head, I feel like there's three, maybe four main storylines.
You don't. Everyone doesn't have to be on every week when you get to 2 hours. The bonus of it,
which works as well. I think the four main storylines are, is it the New Day breaking up, Liv and Rhea, Punk and Drew, and also will they fight Gunther and Zayn?
It's gonna happen, isn't it? It's gotta happen.
Yeah. Surely.
I wonder what it is that's gonna make Gunther snap and give it to him though. That's what I'm interested in.
It might not be his decision.
It'll be a bit shitty from Adam Pearce. Like, this whole time, you could have been like, "No, the match is happening," and then like all of a sudden you're like, "No, I've had enough. The match is gonna happen." Like, what? Like Adam, do your job.
Yeah. just make it at the start.
Okay, as we are moving into things that we are looking forward to towards the end of the year, the question I'm going to ask the majority of the Wrestle Club podcast is, how do you think the Lucha Bros presence within the WWE will affect the tag team division? Now, Danny and Ibs is looking very weird because
I know who Pentagon Jr. and Rey Fénix are. Thank you very much. How dare you?
The reason why I bring up this question.
I know who they are. I didn't know that's what they were called.
Yeah. The reason why I bring up this question is because obviously people of the podcast fans will know that I watch AEW quite a lot. The tag team division within AEW has always been quite strong. Within WWE, it started off quite high, but we have got, for example, the Judgment Day with Tag Team Championship, who've only defended it once since they've had it, which was in June.
That man are rubbish. I'm not going to lie. I would have preferred...
JD and Finn.
Yeah. I think Finn's beneath the tag team title, but I think I'm always above it. I think he's above it. Like, it should have been Dom and JD as the champions. But then also...
Dom and Carlito.
Yeah. Or just, like, I think Finn should have just been the leader and walked around as a leader. Like, the fact that you're the champion, but, like, you're a champion with someone, kind of really, like, it doesn't see you as a credible leader in a way. Because think about this. Apart from maybe the bloodline, we know that all the main people in every faction's help, like, is, like... the singles champion and the rest of the guys are the tag team champions.
Yeah.
Because what I don't really want is for them to come in and then just be assigned with the LWO or Andrade. Obviously, they're going to need a mouthpiece. But what I don't want is them to be assigned just to be with the Latin crew.
Would you put them in NXT?
I'd put them on the main roster. And I would get it so Selena Vega does some coup d'etat to get them in, beat up the other guys so she can roll with Selena. Because Selena Vega would be a great mouthpiece who could fight and, like, kind of fits with their energy. Like, because obviously we've got Pentagon Jr. who's, like, no fear, and Rey Fénix who's, like, he's got a babyface energy about him, a more babyface energy about him. And then you have Selena as, like, the foil in between both of them. Could like cuss the audience out in Spanish, cuss the audience
out.
Would
you put them against LWO then?
Yeah.
Do a feud like that?
Yeah.
That'd be a great
I don't
team,
know, maybe if
fair.
That's the thing that they start with. I think that'd probably be the best way to start to get them in quickly. But then also, you wouldn't want to put all the luchas in one match. That's very like.
This is what I'm fearful of.
Yeah. Bring back Bad Bunny or something.
Well, the other people to consider is obviously DIY would be a good opponent for them.
Yeah.
They can be able to keep on playing the sets. The other big tag team signing that have currently gone to NXT is the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
I would love to
see a Lucha Brothers Motor City Machine Guns match. I think that would be great. But tag team wrestling in the US doesn't look how it looks now without the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah.
Basically, you take Young Bucks, you take everybody else. This Motor City Machine Guns made all that happen for me, them and the Briscoes. So now we're looking at who the LW got to work with that can work to their level. So you're looking at people like Los Garza, Angel and Berto, probably work that style. You're looking at the LWO can work that style. They could probably have a match with the Good Brothers. I'm not sure how good it's going to be.
Well, that would be on NXT, but yeah.
So what you need, so other tag teams, you think the Usos go back together eventually, possibly the Creed Brothers.
Meh.
But then you're into stuff like Awesome Truth and the Bloodline.
Meh.
I just don't see where the teams that can work well with these guys are.
This is the problem I currently have.
I'm intrigued to see them with the Street Profits, maybe.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also, there is the return. Well, it seems like we had a cryptic clue this week on Raw. It seems like we are going to get the return of the Viking Raiders.
I mean, that would be good as well.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
That'd be good, big guys versus small guys, like that. Fury and Waller as well. Probably get a good match out of them.
Wyatt Six.
Oh, actually, speaking about Fury and Waller, I don't know if anyone watched NXT this week, but it was pissing me off within the Grayson Waller effect. That he was just holding his phone throughout the whole thing. And I was like, are you recording the whole thing? Are you reading your notes? It was so fucking distracting. I was like, be professional. Pull it in your back pocket. What are you doing? You're not even using it.
He's a bit of a dick, isn't he? Basically. So it's fine.
But it looked like, initially it looked like he was using it for notes. Like he was using it to read his notes.
But also,
that's how if you watch the whole bit, that's how it appears.
But couldn't that be a heel move? Like you're a heel in the main roster. You've been told to go to development, and you're like, I don't know these brothers.
I don't care.
Yeah, like, but
I'll be on my phone.
But I think in the grand scheme of things, yeah, like all the tag teams we named, apart from maybe two of them, I'm like if they were gone tomorrow, wouldn't care. Like. DIY, I love them in NXT, but like if they were gone tomorrow, you'd be like, oh, that's sad. Like, I like them as people, but in the grand scheme of things, so like LWO to an extent, so like, who else did we say? A Town down under, why? Like, I think that's the classic. We don't have anything for you, let's slap these two together. And I think that's most of the tag teams in the. Like, the women, I think the difference between the men's and women's one is the women's one, it feels like they've established themselves as teams. So, like, now more than ever, you're like, oh, this is a team. You haven't been slapped up together. All right, Isle of Dawn and Own Holy Union, they're fighting for the titles. We know them as a tag team. Jade Cargill and, oh, my God, why have I forgotten their name?
Bianca Belair.
They're a tag team. I'm upset that they still don't have a tag team name. But, like, I think, I don't know. Guys, how do we feel about tag teams without having names? I feel like every tag team should have a name.
I love a really shit tag team name. I love going back in the days, like, Power and Glory and stuff like that. I want names like that. The Rockers. The Orient Express, probably not so much that one.
The Rock and Sock Connection.
The Rock and Sock Connection. Los Guerreros. Like, I thought it was cool having, like, tag team names. And now we're just like, Bianca and Jade. What?
And like, they're matching ring gear. Give yourself a name.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? All these tag teams sound like podcasts now.
What would you call them? What would you call them?
Oh, Black Girl Magic. Easy. Easy.
No, imagine Michael Cole saying that.
And it's Black Girl Magic.
So okay.
You got to leave that line to Booker T.
Yeah, no one can say Bunda. No one can be like the Bunda.
The Bunda girls are coming.
Well, let's close the podcast with briefly talking about it, because like I said at the start, we are going to have a special episode just to run down everyone's thought on the documentary. Vince McMahon's Netflix documentary came out on Tuesday, and was Tuesday? Tuesday night, midnight. Officially Wednesday, we would say. And there are some mixed feelings about it. It was meant
especially
to reveal
from Vince McMahon himself.
Yeah, exactly. It was meant to reveal the ups and downs of Vince McMahon's career. He was not involved halfway through of the documentary because of the allegations that have come out recently. And he has put out a social media post to say that the documentary misportrays who he is as a person. Now, what I would say from seeing the episodes that I've seen is it does seem like they're trying to convince non-fans that Vince McMahon as a person is the same as his character.
The thing is, I don't think he is that far removed from the character. You read stories about Paul Heyman saying he would get mad if he sneezed. He's a lunatic.
It literally went, as soon as he said he's not like that, it went to other wrestlers going, he was exactly like that.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
I think with Vince,
so dumb.
I think he's a fucked up guy. Let's make that very clear. But he's come from a fucked up upbringing, and I think it's like, it's basically Vince's that vibe of like, this is what happens to boomers where they didn't go therapy, and then they end up like pushing up and doing crazy stuff in the future, like in like later in life. But yeah, I thought the documentary, it's given the Sunderland Till I Die energy, where they've come to document one thing. And it turns out they've ended up documenting a completely different thing.
Oh.
And the fact that he dry snitches him like, on himself 3 minutes into the documentary, you're like, well, bro. In any courtroom in the world, they could just put the first 3 minutes of the Netflix documentary and be like, yeah, he did that shit.
Do you reckon halfway through filming, Netflix start, like when that all come out, they like rubbed their hands together and was like, we have got a corker.
Did WWE sign with them before or after they said they were going to do this doc?
They'd started making the documentary before the allegations about Vince McMahon came out. Okay. So obviously they've repackaged. Well, like you said, they stumbled into something better than what they were originally going to do.
And it's
similar as well. We've watched the Wrestling with Shadows documentary where they were just following Bret Hart around in his last few days of WWF, and then they end up doing the Montreal Screwjob, and that ends up being best documentary ever. And I think it's a similar situation with this, where they've just fallen ass backwards into something better than they've got, and obviously it ties in with them launching on Netflix as well at the same time. And Vince is out, so they can say what they want.
Yeah, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm going to save all my thoughts properly for it when we cover it next week. But all I'm going to say is, so far, I can't stop watching it. I can't stop. It's so good. It's so good.
He's such a weird man.
Yeah.
And there's so many comments, but from other wrestlers. Like, there's that guy, and I can't remember what he says, but he basically just says, "Yeah, we abused loads of women back then. We were awful," and it doesn't get mentioned. Like, and it's like, where's his lawsuit, bro? Yeah. He just said that on a Netflix documentary. I'm how?
A lot of old school wrestlers tell a lot of stories, of course, a lot of documentaries, that their behaviors, like even recently, I was reading, listening to like the guy that was Midian, Brian, guest on the Undertaker's podcast. And they told a story about throwing slop over Sonny's head and how they'd all pissed in it and jizzed in it and shat in it. And you're like, why are you telling the story like it's a funny joke? You know, it's the abuse
that's
of
kind
women.
Of what happens during this? That,
the abuse of women in the business in the '80s. Well, going back further, and even probably now, if we're honest with ourselves, you know, I assume it's better now than it's ever been. You'd hope so.
Yeah,
but it's crazy, and they did not see it as a problem.
No, and I think this documentary. I don't think this documentary is going to change anyone's opinion about WWE. Or wrestling in general. I don't think it's going to shake things up because it's things that the majority of people already know. I feel like, I think this documentary will probably lighten some people's eyes about the backstage business about wrestling. But for wrestling fans like ourselves, this is nothing new. This is nothing. Yeah. This is not a massive shock. It's just now just coming up to Netflix and WWE's making some money from it.
Well, that's the thing. We're not the target audience of this documentary.
Yeah.
The target audience is people who don't watch wrestling. And like, obviously, wrestling fans are going to watch it, but like the stuff in it is to show them this is the fucked up world. I mean, we know most of these stories, but if you pile all these stories on top of one another, of someone who doesn't know them, it's crazy. I don't know if it's this is going to have a detrimental effect on WWE's business or not.
I don't think it will
because they'll probably focus more on the fact that it's all run by Triple H now.
And
he comes across so far, he comes across really well in the documentary. So it'll probably, I haven't seen the ending of it, but I'd like to think at the end of it, they'll probably do something like Triple H is now the guy. So there'll be a little thing there where it's like, luckily we don't have this guy around anymore kind of energy. So yeah, I don't think it's going to affect anything, but it's very interesting.
I think the biggest thing that I haven't finished it either, but from what I've learned is that man is like the biggest like capitalist ever. He will do whatever he needs to do in order for him to make his money. Like from getting your daughter, your family out, for doing like whatever. It felt like the vibe, but he said something about how he doesn't create trends, he just jumps on trends. But then it's like, imagine it like your middle-aged deplorable uncle knowing about this star, so it's like, yeah, I'll give it a go, and then do it in the most fucked up way possible. That's pretty much what he's done.
Well, we'll see what happens in the next coming weeks and how it does whether it will have effect on WWE. Like I said, I don't think it will generally, but only time will tell. But we will have a full episode around the documentary and have our thoughts and feelings and run down our top 10 moments from the documentary, or reveals, we should say, next week. So, boys, do your homework. Okay. Top 10. I'm warning you from now. Top 10 moments.
Top 10 moments. More on Netflix.
Okay, fine. We'll just do top 3. Top 3 moments. Top 3 moments.
Believe in us.
Yeah,
well, we'll do it collectively. It'll be a top 10 collectively. Okay.
Yeah.
But
Big E's top 5.
Thanks. I love it when you set me homework for a podcast. I don't get paid to participate. It's very nice.
You're welcome, Ben. Well, this has been the Wrestle Club UK podcast. I hope you're enjoying the rest of your week. I will also give another shout out to Eve Wrestling. If you are around next week, come along to Eve Wrestling. A certain female may be hosting. I don't know.
Random
shameless plug. If you're free and you're like in the East London area, yeah, come to our show called Durag Energy, where all the comedians have to wear durags, and Danny Scott's doing it next Thursday.
I am indeed.
Yes.
I am indeed.
She's
shocked.
I think he's like, damn.
I'm the first white guy on the show, right?
It's because of my durang, so...
Yes, you are.
Well, go and watch the show.
I'm the first white guy on Durag Energy, so see this mullet be contained by a durag.
Yeah, another barrier broken for the white man. Yeah. Good stuff. We've done it, guys.
Yeah.
You break that glass ceiling.
I did it!
Go white man!
Go white...
Yeah,
well, this has been the Wrestle Club UK podcast.
That's how I'm ending my set mark. Go white men!
This has been the Wrestle Club UK podcast. Please do follow, like, subscribe, tell your friends about it. I've been Keith, head of the table, and this week I've been joined by Mark Cram, main event Mark Cram.
I'm a white man.
This will be joined by Ibs.
I am not a white man.
And we've joined by Danny Scott.
Go white man.
We'll see you next week for another episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. Bye.
Flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friend, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!
Where's she going?
The door went.
She's just not the ended it. She's just left.
We need to wait until she comes back. Yeah.
You need to do something.
Yeah. Tim? You need to sort this out.
Where's Tim?
Does Tim need to do something to upload it or whatever? Or
hello.
Can we leave?
Tim is here. No. Oh no, let me message him. We're done.
Tim.
Bands, I make a dance. That's what I was in my head.
We're done. I think he's got to like press on.
I heard this random fact that 3-6 Mafia are the only like rap group or like artists or bands to win an Oscar and make a WWE theme song.
I really thought you were going to say win an Oscar and a Slammy.
No. Hopefully. I don't think anyone's won a Slammy and an Oscar. Has anyone been? No, probably not. Dwayne's probably our closest bet.
Dwayne's a good chance. Dave Bautista, maybe?
Yeah.
Dave could do it.
Do you know what a good top five for us to do? The best wrestlers who are actors.
Yeah, we could do that.
Hulk Hogan.
Oh, brilliant.
Definitely. Have you seen Suburban Commando? It's fucking great.
Also, because obviously I can't get the studio booked for... a Sunday or weekend. So what I was going to do instead is once a month, we record for 3 hours, do like 4 episodes, like 20 minutes each. And then each week I will just top it up with like myself. So that just means that you lot just don't have to be around until like once a month.
Okay, just tell us when you want us and we'll make it work.
So obviously,
as long as I've not got more important things.
Huh?
As long as I've not got more important things to do. Yeah, I'll be there.
What did you get from the door?
Was it your drugs? No.
Are you sure drugs in and not arrived yet? I'm sorry.
No, I hope they come soon because I'm going to watch a Grateful Dead tribute thing tonight. Oh. I'd rather be stoned for that.
Grateful Dead.
My therapy starts now, so I've kind of got a gun.
Yeah, go.
All right.
Am I allowed to leave?
Can we leave?
I don't know if we can leave.
I mean, I think we can leave.
Are you sure?
I can't just sit on this call all day.
I'll tell you what, can I just mute myself and turn the camera off and I'll jump in the therapy?
Or do we have to stay before you do something?
Mark, when are you getting?
I think we have to hang on. I've got therapy now. Let's talk about drugs.
We can all leave.
I'm getting some Mandy and some 2CB.
No one hear me?
Oh, saucy. Mm.
Oh, shit. Damn it.
I think he's disappeared.
We can all leave apparently.
What's happened?
Danny's gone. It's still running.
So, yeah. Leave,
Twix gone.